Has anyone had any sneaky turkey already this week? I just had a thought out there. You know what? Gifts are God's speciality. Do you know that? If you want to know about gifts, look at God. I want to share just a few minutes with you this morning on this special Christmas Eve gathering. So good, I think, for us to be together. Appreciate so many of you being out this morning and coming along here first before you go out and do the rest of your shopping or before you prepare for Christmas Day. But I think it's great just to meet together, don't you? I love Christmas and just being together at Christmas. And here we are at a time where it's a great time of giving gifts. And this is what I still believe, that, of course, the perfect gift in its purest form still comes in the shape of Jesus Christ. How many would agree with that this morning? That it still comes in his shape. And I love the thought that at this time that God sent his son. And okay, we celebrate Christmas, but he sent his son as a gift. And it's almost like he just went, "Here you are, world. Have a bit of grace." In fact, no, let's be real. He said, "Have a lot of grace." And as Jesus came in that Christmas parcel on that great day, God was really saying, you know, in this Christmas gift, have a lot of salvation. Have a lot of this thing that has saved our lives. Come on, church. It's like, I have given you this gift, so have a whole lot of grace. Have a whole lot of salvation this Christmas. Have a whole lot of forgiveness this Christmas. Have a whole lot of Jesus this Christmas. Have a whole lot of peace this Christmas, because God sent his son as the most precious, purest gift we've ever seen in the whole of history. I love that thought. And I literally just want to bring us back to basics when it comes to giving gifts. And so I think this is a very practical message to us, but also has a link straight back to the great gift, the pure gift of Jesus. So stick with me for 3 points, and here's number one. I want us to remind us something about gift giving today. So if you're giving gifts, then hear me out this morning. Number one, I want to tell you this about gifts, or the wonder of giving. Giving a gift should always be a voluntary exercise. Hear me this morning. Giving a gift should always be a voluntary exercise. For me, there's nothing worse than giving a gift because you have to. We should give gifts because we want to. I think if we give gifts because we have to, it kind of taints the gift, don't you think? Just a little bit. And I thought of this, back to basics, giving should never be under compulsion. I think there's a beautiful thing about being able to freely give, that there's no compulsion there. And so I basically wanted to say to you this morning that giving shouldn't be under any compulsion. And whether you are giving to your friend this year a Christmas gift, or whether you are giving to God, I believe the same thing. It says it very well in 2 Corinthians 9. Let me read it to you. It says, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." I love this stuff. "And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." Now, how many think that Mr. Bean was giving cheerfully to that teddy bear? I want you to give cheerfully like that in the morning to people. You're not going to do that, are you? But anywhere near about just a cheerful gift. I think there's something to be said about giving freely and giving joyfully. In fact, I want you to imagine for a moment the conversation in heaven that would have been going on between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the time they're looking down on earth, and Father's saying, you know, it's a bit of a desperate place. They're in a mess. The world's in a mess. And you know what's coming next, guys? That they need a Savior down there. And as we look on earth, there is no one that fits the bill. There is no one good enough, no one great enough. Everyone's sinful. We need a pure gift. We need something very special. We need a sacrifice that is pure and spotless that will go and pay the price. Father, Son, and Spirit are there, and Jesus is kind of thinking, well, it's only going to be one of three because there's not many about. And it comes to the point where the Father says, Son, would you be willing to go and be the gift to save the world from their desperate situation? And I don't know how long it took Jesus to decide, but there came a point in history where he said, Father, I will go. And I will go and do what I have to do. And I'm so glad for the scripture, particularly in Hebrews, where it says that he didn't go. Jesus didn't come to save the world. He didn't come at Christmas to save the world under compulsion. But there's a great scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that says, but for the joy. Everyone say the joy. But for the joy that was set before him. I wonder what that joy is this morning. Maybe that joy is you. Maybe you for the first time. Maybe you just turned up at Christmas. Maybe, hey, come on, let's all do church thing. It's Christmas. And you've turned up. I want to tell you that when Jesus made that decision, he made it for you. For the joy. And for those of you who've been around forever, I want to say he made it for you as well. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and suffered the shame. There is something extremely beautiful about freely giving. The second thing that I want to remind you this morning about the wonder of giving is this. Giving a gift should always be without the expectation of return. Oh, wow. I don't think we're particularly great at this. But every time we give a gift, it's not that we should be expecting one in return. I think today is kind of a day of guilty shopping. So I think some of you will have turned up this morning and you will have been with other families and they've come to you this morning and they've given you a package and said, Merry Christmas, this is for your family. And you've not bought them anything. And on the way home, or you may have already had the conversation with Mrs. You may have already been saying, you know what, the family, they brought us this gift and we've not got anything to give them. They've got us something. We're going to have to go and get them something. And so after the gathering, you're going to kind of leave and you'll drive through Wigan and you'll see how many cars are there and how many people are there. And you'll think, oh, we don't want to go into Wigan. What are we going to do? We're going to have to get them a gift. So you're going to go home. You're going to look under your tree and you're going to find a bag with a bottle of wine in that you think, I don't like that one. And you look in another one, you think, that's better. Well, let's give them the one we don't like. And you're going to leave it in the bag that someone bought for you with that wine. And you're going to take the tag off and put a new tag on it and put their name on it. Can anybody tell me you've never done that? Or something like that. It goes like that. And it's kind of guilty shopping day. Because we feel if someone's bought us something that we have to return that to them. But I want to say this to you. Giving without expectation isn't, there's your gift, where's mine? It never says those things. You see, the reality is, what if they never bought you one? I believe blessing someone with a gift should always be given without expectation. You know, many years ago now at Christmas, let me tell you this. We have four daughters, and they were just, maybe one or two of them were teenagers, the rest of them were just young children. And we'd had a Sunday, a Christmas Day gathering, a bit like this one, and I'd done my thing, and we were kind of ready to go home, and we got in our car, and we were driving home that day. I remember it very clearly, and we got to our house, we got to the street that we lived in at that time, and we turned right into the street. And then our house was on the right-hand side. I suddenly noticed that there was a car parked on our driveway. And of course, the girls noticed as well. And I thought, well, someone's come visiting one. We lived in a cul-de-sac at that time, and not many parking spaces. And I thought, someone's come visiting one of their relatives, and they thought we're away for Christmas, and they've parked on our drive, right in the middle of the driveway. First thought I had was, cheeky beggars. The second thought I had was, that's a really nice car. And as I'm driving closer, at that time, the car that we had, I had a personal reg on there, and it read like this, A6 SVE. That was my registration plate. And as I drove to this car on my driveway, I looked at the registration plate, and it said A6 SVE. And the sudden realization that some very special family in this community had blessed us with a car. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, oh my word, it's got my reg on. My girls were getting excited. Even Helen was getting a little bit excited. And I was like Mr. Bean, you know, like on the vid. I was going mental. And we were looking at this car, and we went in the house, found the keys behind the letter plate that had been dropped there for us. And we went to the car, and the girls are sat in it trying it out. We're starting the car. And then we thought, let's look in the boot. So we opened the boot, maybe expecting, a little note saying, here's our gift to you, where's ours? But actually, it didn't say that. There was a really lovely thank you, appreciative letter in the boot together with the biggest food hamper you've ever seen. It was an awesome experience for our family at that time. You see, their generosity was given without any expectation of return. And I want to say that one of the great things that experience had on my family is the fact that that was very much a catalyst to help us in our generosity journey towards others as well. It's almost like a catching thing. And when I think about Jesus at this time of the year, Jesus, the gift, came down and paid the penalty of sin. It cost him everything for our peace with God. And I'm reminded that as I look at the cross, as I look at years beyond Christmas, and as he went to the cross to pay that penalty, I'm also reminded that there wasn't a sign on the cross that said to all of us, there's my gift to you, where's yours to mine? I'm conscious also that it's like, well, okay, we look and we say, well, okay, Jesus, well, what's the catch? I want to say to you this morning, there's no catch, just grace. And as I read a great scripture to you this morning, you'll understand. I have never, he writes, the writer writes, I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give. You can say it. To give than to receive. And so before I just go on to this very simple last point, let me say, so remember, on a very practical level, remember that when you open your gifts tomorrow and you receive a pair of Christmas socks from the person that you spent a fortune on, remember that you are the blessed one. You're the blessed one. Thirdly, back to basics, giving, the wonder of giving. Number three, giving a gift should always be to bless. Come on. Let's get back to the basics of giving. We give voluntary. It's a voluntary act. We want to bless people. You know, we hopefully don't give because it's like, there's my gift, where's mine? There's yours, where's mine? And very simply, giving a gift should always be to bless. The nature, the very nature of a pure gift is to bless and never to impress. How often we try to impress with our gifts? Go out of budget to impress. Go into debt to impress. But the nature of a pure gift is to bless and never to impress. The nature of a gift is to honor. The nature of a gift is to always appreciate. The nature of a gift is just to bless. There's never an ulterior motive in the purity of a gift. In the book of James, chapter 1, 17, it says this: whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Jesus became the gift. He came to bless. He never came to condemn. Hear me this morning. Such is the grace of God. He came to bless and not to condemn, and he didn't come to impress. How many know he made an absolute fundamental error if he believed he was coming to impress, because he never would have been born in a stable? Stables hardly impress. Being born in a dirty manger that has been used by animals is never a sign to impress. But I say to us today, but what a gift. What a gift. Let's pray a moment. As we just bowed in prayer, let's maybe just reflect on one or two of the things that I've said today about gifts, the simplicity and the simple thoughts, but important thoughts about gifts. As we think about giving, particularly tomorrow, we give. It's what we do at Christmas. We give gifts one to another. I want you to be free to give. I want you to enjoy the fact that you can freely give to others. I want you to reflect on the fact that you can freely give to others without expecting something in return. God bless you if you get something, but without the expectation of return, to be able to freely give to others. Without the compulsion, without the expectation to give to impress, but to give out of your heart. To give out of love and appreciation and honor to another human being. Then when we think about Jesus, we think of him as the perfect gift. The one who gave without expectation. The one who gave everything he had so that we could have freedom. So that we could receive him as our gift. My encouragement to you this morning is that you receive this gift of Jesus. That you receive his grace. That you receive his salvation. God came along and said, "Here you are, world, receive the grace of God. Receive the salvation of Jesus." And here this morning, we can receive the most pure and precious gift of him on this very special day. I want to remind you that he paid for our freedom, that he paid for our forgiveness. And I wonder, just as I pray, and I'm certainly not going to prolong this morning, I understand that many people will be here, maybe visiting from different places, maybe family. You're so welcome in this gathering. It's been so good to share this morning with you. And some of you maybe have been coming for some time now, and you said, you know what, I've never really received this gift of Jesus. I want to say, what an incredible day to do that.